Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. We really appreciate you joining us. This podcast really shows us how we can all learn, live, and thrive off of each other. By sharing our knowledge through our conversations, we will impart some knowledge whilst learning ourselves how to progress even further. Here is your host.
Welcome to Intimate Tales, where every whisper and shadow reveals the secrets of the heart. I'm your host, Donald Sololo. Today's episode, Forbidden Desires, peels back the curtain of a story not often told. In the soft light of vulnerability and the sharp shadow of societal judgment, we explore the journey of a man whose heart beats to an unexpected rhythm. As the city blurs into the night, our protagonist finds the truth in the least expected places, challenging the norms that bind the contours of conventional love. In this episode of Intimate Tales, we dive into the deep and sometimes turbulent waters of unconventional attraction. Our story follows a man who discovers the profound connection to women who carry not only the beauty of their youth, but the captivating allure of experience and wisdom. From the stifling expectation of a small town to the liberating streets of a bustling city, join us as we unfold a tale of love, acceptance, and the courage to pursue the heart's true desire. Listen closely as we uncover how his journey transforms not only his life, but also the lives of those he cherishes.
I grew up in the small town of Clearwater, tucked between rolling hills and quiet streams, as the only child of a librarian and a high school teacher. Life in Clearwater was peaceful, filled with routine activities like soccer practices that left grass stains on my knees, piano lessons that challenged my clumsy fingers, and movie nights every Friday when our living room would fill with the smell of buttery popcorn. My mom, who was always calm and wise, spent her days surrounded by books at the local library. I used to hang out there a lot with her, getting lost in the huge collection of books she showed me. She opened up worlds way beyond our little town, sparking a curiosity in me that was as wonderful as it was overwhelming. My dad taught history at the local high school and was incredibly patient and kind. He had a way of making history come alive during our dinner conversations, capturing my imagination with stories of ancient battles and heroes. Even with such a rich and loving upbringing, there was a part of me that I kept to myself, a deep and unusual desire that I didn't talk about. As I got older, especially during my teenage years, this hidden part of me began to stir. Unlike the typical crushes that my classmates often whispered about, I found myself drawn to characters in my mom's novels. Maturi, composed woman whose attractiveness was in their stories and the dignified way they carried themselves. I slowly started to realize I was attracted to older women. It wasn't a sudden revelation, but more like a gradual awakening. I remember when I was 14, our neighbor Mrs. Whitaker came by to return a book she borrowed from my mom. She was probably in her early 50s, with streaks of gray in her hair. We chatted about the book briefly, and I was struck by her voice and her laugh. They were so confident and comforting, watching her walk back home in the golden sunset. I felt an unusual pull in my heart, a feeling that didn't go away but grew stronger over time. While my friends were into brief high school romances, passing notes and holding hands, I found myself daydreaming about deep, meaningful conversations with women like the ones in the books I read. Dealing with these feelings was confusing. How could I explain to anyone that, even as a young guy, I was drawn to women who were much older? I kept this secret close, worried that sharing it would make people mock or misunderstand me. My friends, who were always excited to talk about their crushes, would likely think my feelings were strange, making me feel even more isolated. Keeping this secret felt like walking through a familiar yet foggy landscape. Everything seemed a bit off and unreachable. I longed to talk to someone who would understand, but I was scared that opening up would only make me feel more alone. I remember Mrs. Lawson, my high school history class. Mrs. Lawson was in her late 40s, a time in life where grace and wisdom really come together. She made history come alive, pulling the past right into our classroom. It all started quietly, like most deep feelings do. I was drawn in not just by the exciting historical stories she told, like her passionate accounts of the Cold War, which could grab any student's attention, but by her presence. She had this effortless way of capturing everyone's attention. Her confident, gentle smile could soften even the toughest critics. Watching her explain complex historical events with such grace was captivating. While my classmates were busy doodling the names of pop stars or other students in their notebooks, my pages were filled with sketches of Mrs. Lawson. There she was, drawn in my notebook, standing by the blackboard with the light catching on her pearls, explaining international diplomacy with graceful hand movements. Her enthusiasm for history was infectious, and I soaked up every word, not just because I loved history, but because I deeply admired her. Over time, this admiration grew into something deeper than just a simple high school crush. Mrs. Lawson had a maturity and a quiet strength that really drew me in. She wasn't just a teacher to me, she was a figure of profound life experience and complexity. This wasn't something I could easily talk about with my friends. How could I explain that I was attracted to someone old enough to be my mother when they were all into the latest celebrities or the prettiest girls at school? I kept these feelings to myself, worried about how strange they might seem and that I might be judged or misunderstood in our small town with its traditional views on young love. In class, I paid close attention, not just to learn but to hear her speak. Her voice had a calming effect on me, making everything feel just right. Sometimes she'd notice how focused I was and give me a kind smile that really touched me. Those moments were thrilling but also a bit scary. I started reading more, diving into history books and novels, partly to satisfy my growing curiosity and partly to feel a connection to Mrs. Lawson. The books she recommended in class felt like a bridge between us, making our student-teacher relationship something more special. As the school year went on, my inner conflict grew. I admired her from afar, respecting the boundaries between us and aware that my feelings were crossing societal lines in a way. This attraction stayed within the confines of my thoughts and my sketches, my secret kept safe within my notebooks. As the years rolled on and I moved from high school to university, my unique attractions not only continued but deepened. Unlike the typical teenage crushes of my peers, I found myself drawn to women who were much older, their lives rich with experiences far beyond my own. This unusual preference led to a lot of confusion and a strong sense of feeling out of place. University was supposed to be a time for fun and making new friends, but I felt isolated. My friends were all about dating and partying, thriving on the excitement of chasing after sorority girls and enjoying the college social scene. They loved the thrill of it all, their nights full of laughter and flirting at packed parties. In contrast, I was more at home in quieter, more secluded places like the university library. That's where I met Elaine, a doctoral student in her early 60s. We would talk for hours about literature and philosophy, topics we were both passionate about. Our conversations were deep and fulfilling, offering the kind of intellectual connection I craved. Elaine was incredibly wise and knowledgeable, and she showed me a different kind of connection, one that was based on a deep meeting of minds rather than just superficial attraction. She had a calm and assured way about her, gained from years of experience both in academia and life. But even with Elaine, I couldn't shake a feeling of loneliness. I was a young man in his 20s, drawn to someone who could be my grandmother. This difference from the norm made me doubt myself a lot. Was something wrong with me emotionally? These questions were heavy on my mind, making me feel ashamed and frustrated. I couldn't talk about my feelings with anyone. I was too afraid of being ridiculed or feeling even more alienated in a place where being different wasn't welcomed. This internal struggle wasn't just about who I was attracted to. It was about deeper questions of identity and what my future would look like. The usual life path of dating, getting married, and settling down seemed so distant and foreign to my own experiences. I felt like an outsider, unable to fit into the script that everyone else seemed to follow without thinking. Sometimes I tried to force myself to be like everyone else, hoping that maybe I could change what I felt. But those attempts didn't work. They just made me feel empty and false, as if I was denying the most honest part of myself. Each attempt to conform left me feeling more disconnected from others and from who I really was. However, I found comfort in my studies and in my quiet times with Elaine. She seemed to understand what I was going through without me having to say anything. She never pushed me to share more than I was comfortable with, providing a safe space where I could just be myself, away from the judgments of society. Our discussions, which ranged from philosophical debates to exploring classic literature, didn't just distract me, they fed my soul. After graduating, I packed my things into a few old suitcases and moved to Boston, looking for a fresh start and some privacy away from the judgmental whispers of my hometown, Clearwater. This vibrant, diverse city felt like a new beginning, a place where I could be myself without anyone whispering behind my back. In this bustling city, surrounded by strangers, I started to really embrace the parts of myself I had always hidden. The anonymity was comforting. It eased the sting of past judgments and let me explore who I really was. I dove into the city's cultural scene, attending lectures on art history, philosophy, and literature, finding these places like gateways to a broader, more accepting world. I also joined several book clubs that met in cozy cafes and quiet library corners. These groups were full of people from all walks of life, but I found myself drawn to conversations with older, worldly women who spoke with a confidence and knowledge that captivated me. I soaked up their wisdom eagerly. One night, at a film screening at a local museum, I met Miriam, a retired film critic. She had a strong presence, and her insights about the film, an old French noir, were so passionate and informed. Miriam's laughter, so full and genuine, broke through my usual shyness, pulling me towards her. After the film, I ended up talking to her for hours. We discussed everything from our favorite film directors to complex film theories, and as the museum closed, neither of us wanted to leave. The next week we met for coffee, and Miriam told me stories about her trips to film festivals around the world, from Cannes to Venice. Her life seemed like a rich tapestry of experiences, and each story added depth to the picture she painted. I was completely drawn in, feeling a connection that went deeper than just our shared love for films. Over the next few months, my relationship with Miriam grew. She became more than a friend. She was a mentor and a confidant. With her, I could be myself completely, without fear of judgment. Being with Miriam taught me the importance of embracing my desires. She showed me that whatever the heart feels, no matter how unconventional, is nothing to be ashamed of but something to understand and celebrate. Together, we explored art galleries, went to theater premieres, and spent many evenings talking about books and films. Through Miriam, I learned to appreciate the beauty of connecting with someone who not only accepted, but also shared my admiration for the experience and wisdom that comes with age. Our relationship, which flourished in the energetic backdrop of the city, was a haven of intellectual connection and emotional maturity. However, this sanctuary faced its challenges. Even though Miriam and I handled our relationship gracefully, society didn't always look kindly upon us. The judgments we faced were subtle but constant, like a cold draft that finds its way in no matter how well you seal the windows. Friends who once cheered on my conventional relationships now seemed skeptical. Their confusion and discomfort often came out as jokes. Robbing the cradle a bit, aren't we? Or what do you guys talk about history? Though they laughed, their words stung and reminded me of the misunderstanding between us. Family gatherings also changed. They turned into moments where I had to dodge well-meaning but traditional relatives who tried to set me up with someone my age. My grandmother would subtly point out the nice young women in our community, her hints wrapped in politeness but loaded with expectations. Every comment and look at these gatherings chipped away at my confidence in my choices. This societal pressure complicated our lives. With Miriam, I found a deep, genuine connection. But outside our little world, it felt like everyone questioned and sometimes even rejected our bond. It was tough, mixing happiness with discomfort. I often found myself defending our relationship, sometimes even to myself. In quiet moments, doubts whispered to me, fueled by societal expectations. Could our relationship really survive these outside pressures? Miriam taught me resilience. She'd say, "Let them talk. They don't understand what we share." Her confidence helped guide me through the doubts. Her experience with life's challenges had taught her that a relationship's value isn't about social approval, but about the comfort and connection it offers. Inspired by her strength, I began to build a space for us away from critical eyes. We found friends who valued diverse connections, people who appreciated relationships that didn't fit the usual mold. These friends became like family, supporting us where our biological families might not. In this supportive community, our relationship thrived. We had deep discussions, fun gatherings, and built a world where societal norms didn't matter. Here, Miriam and I didn't just find refuge, we celebrated our unique bond. Over time, the harsh judgments from society faded into background noise. The more people saw the happiness and growth Miriam brought into my life, the more they accepted us. Each skeptical look and remark didn't weaken us. It strengthened my resolve and made me appreciate our unconventional path even more. Even with all the judgment from society, my relationship with Miriam just kept getting deeper, moving way beyond just a simple attraction. Our bond was strong, filled with deep emotional connections. We shared the everyday little details of our lives, the ups and downs, as much as we shared our biggest fears and dreams. Miriam, with all her life experience, brought a sense of calm and perspective into my life. During our long evening walks or quiet dinners at home, she'd tell stories from her past that taught me about patience, the importance of staying true to oneself, and how to appreciate a good story. These weren't just lessons, they came naturally from her own experiences with hardships and victories, showing the real strength it takes to stay true to who you are. Being with Miriam felt freeing and comforting at the same time. Her love let me be myself completely, without any need for pretense. It was a genuine, simple kind of love that didn't get caught up in the usual complications of relationships. With Miriam, there was no need for games or insincerity. Our relationship was built on real respect and deep affection. This connection gave me a sense of freedom that was both exciting and grounding. As our relationship grew, Miriam became more than just my partner. She was also my mentor and friend. I could share my deepest thoughts with her without any fear of judgment, and she was always there to offer wisdom and support through any of life's challenges. Being with her also helped me grow personally. I learned how to really listen, not just to words, but also to the silence and unspoken feelings between them. Miriam taught me how meaningful conversations could be when you listen with your heart. Our relationship also pushed the boundaries of what I thought love was all about. It challenged the usual ideas of what makes a relationship work, like age or background, and showed me that true compatibility is about connecting on a deeper level. We shared everything from happiness to tough times. When Miriam faced health issues, it brought us even closer together. It showed me that a real partnership is about supporting each other through everything, whether it's difficult times or moments of joy. Over the years, our shared experiences became the foundation of our life together, from random road trips to quiet evenings at home, from being out at film festivals to just laughing and crying together in private moments. Our lives became deeply intertwined. This deep emotional connection became the most important part of my life. It changed how I understand relationships and what it means to truly love someone. In Miriam, I found not just a partner for now, but a lasting love built on mutual respect. and a solid commitment to always support each other. This journey taught me that while society often focuses on the shallow and temporary, the real essence of a meaningful life and love is about connecting deeply, sharing openly, and loving without holding back. The love I shared with Miriam, my lovely wife, showed me the beautiful simplicity of a relationship that isn't defined by societal norms, but is built on a genuine, deep connection. Sitting by the window of our downtown apartment, I watched the rain draw patterns on the glass. It's kind of like watching my memories play out, each droplet tracing lines that light up in the dim evening light. Here in this quiet part of the city, with the soft buzz of urban life in the background, I find myself thinking about my journey. It's a journey that's deeply personal, yet something that might resonate with anyone who's grappled with love, acceptance, and being true to themselves. Embracing my true desires has been a tough road. It's been full of doubt and weighed down by the heavy disapproval from others. It all started quietly, within me, where the first hints of my unique attractions began. For years, these feelings were just dormant seeds, watered by my hidden yearnings and the silent acceptance of what really moved me. By sharing my story, I'm not just telling you about my life. I'm hoping to challenge the usual stereotypes about love and attraction. We all navigate these feelings in our own way, and it's important to recognize the diversity in how people connect. I want to encourage everyone to look past the superficial and question the usual rules that too often control our hearts. What really matters in the end isn't how many years apart we are, but the moments we share. It's the laughter on a warm summer evening, the comfort of a supportive hug during tough times, and the growth that comes from sharing wisdom and dreams. These are what truly define the value of a relationship, not just dates on a calendar or what onlookers might think.
Forbidden Desires touches on themes that resonate deeply within the fabric of human experience, challenging the societal norms that often dictate the boundaries of love and desire. At its core, this story is a poignant reflection of the psychology of attraction, exploring how our connections can defy age and expectation. It prompts us to question the arbitrary lines drawn by society and ask us to consider the freedom and fulfillment that might come from embracing love in all its forms. This tale not only offers a personal narrative of unconventional love, but also serves as a mirror reflecting our own biases and the possibilities that lie in understanding the true extent of connection. As we reflect on the story, we are invited to contemplate the broader implications of our own desires and the societal structures that shape them.
Has a chance encounter ever changed the course of your life? Have you ever felt a connection that was instant and electrifying? If you've experienced moments like these or have stories of unexpected romance and self-discovery, we'd love to hear them. Share your tales with us, and we might just feature your story in an upcoming episode of Intimate Tales. Join the conversation and become a part of our community by following us on social media, sending us an email, or visiting our website. We are eager to hear your feedback, suggestions, and personal reflections on the stories we share. Your interaction makes our journey into the intimate tales of the heart even more enriching. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for the latest updates, behind-the-scenes content, and teasers of upcoming episodes. Engage with us and let us know what you think about the episodes, and stay tuned for exclusive sneak peeks. Tonight's episode was made possible by our sponsor, Lux Linens, bringing you the finest silk and linens for that perfect touch of elegance in your life. Visit them online to transform your home with the beauty of silk. And if you or your company are interested in supporting our podcast, please contact us to explore sponsorship opportunities. You can also give a donation by PayPal to used ID websesameegmail.com. That again is websesame@gmail.com.
This week's episode has come to an end. But the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.